Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. Today, I have a special guest, Deborah Rodriguez. She's joining me to talk about the higher self. So for many of you who have very graciously purchased our higher self oracle, and again, we are super, super grateful. The guest today is Deborah, and she created all of the art for this wonderful deck. So hi, Deborah. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Deanna. It's great to be on.
I'm so glad you're here. I feel like, you know, this episode should have happened a little while back, but I think, you know, schedules, busyness, and also just unexpected things have happened. But I'm really glad that we can kind of touch on this topic today, because I think I've probably, I don't know, sometimes it's like beating a dead horse. You know, I feel like I talk about it a lot. But to me, it never really gets old, because it's very, I think it's very important for all of us to kind of tap in and connect to our higher selves. But this brings me to my first kind of, you know, question, like, what really is the higher self, and how have you experienced it? Like, I wanted to read, a quote from Wayne Dyer. And he says, virtually every spiritual tradition teaches that your higher self is the presence of God within you.
I can see that. Yeah, because we're all one in the same. I mean, we're all one in the same. So it's like, yeah, I can, with my higher self, like, I you know, I've shared this with you, where I see her as the game master of life, of my life. So, but I know that she's divinely connected to source. Like, it's really strange how you see it. Like, we have our own self consciousness, but yet we're all one in the same. So even though it's like my higher self, I'm also speaking with God, but I'm also speaking to the collective at the same time.
That's true.
It's kind of weird how because I know if I talk to one, I'm talking to all of them, but sometimes it's nice to just say the one, but we're all, I don't know. It's so strange to kind of try to put it into words. That makes sense.
No, I completely agree with that. When I think of my higher self, like you said, I kind of think like, okay, that's the real true me, the higher self version of me, the higher consciousness that, like you said, has created, you know, the game. For the most part, in collaboration with whomever up there, and is kind of like running the show to a certain degree. I mean, I think we have free will, but I think, you know, had, for lack of a better word, an agenda, agenda for this lifetime. And from my perspective, it has all of the, you know, actually, this is kind of a good question. Do we think the higher self has all knowledge, or has knowledge from its soul's experience?
Ooh, good question. God, that's a really good question. I think we can tune into all knowledge. I think you definitely get to that conscious level. Because I think that's where we come from. We're attuned to all that is. But it's in our experiences where we than to get to learn different things about ourselves, I guess, different experiences for the soul to grow. And so we tend to like forget that we are connected to all, that we know it all. But when we get to the other side, then it's clear to us. Oh yeah. It all comes back to us, right? Because that's where we came from. So I think we do. Do you know it right at this moment? Probably not. Because that's the part of the whole agenda, you know, you're not supposed to, because it's not part of the story. It'll, you know, but I think we do. I think we definitely have it.
When you say we definitely have it, you think that your higher self-consciousness has, well, I guess to put it this way, access to maybe like a good portion of knowledge, but the knowledge of the all, probably not.
I feel that they do. I don't know. Like I intuitively feel like that connection is so real and is so deep to source that when you get to that conscious level, for me, there's just no doubt that you are, you get it. Mm-hmm. There's this knowing that is that of God.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I wonder what other people think about that too, because I think, have you ever read any of Michael Newton's work where he talks about like the soul, God help me, journey of the soul, journey of souls, Lord help me at this time, journey of souls, destiny of souls, it has to be. Have you ever read his work? Because
no, I haven't. I want to say that it sounds familiar though, but I have not.
It's similar to Brian Weiss's like Many Lives, Many Masters books, where they are like hypnotherapist and they do past life regression. I mean, it was unintentional at first, but they do past life regression where this person, you know, comes for hypnotherapy because they have like a modern day problem. But then it turns out that when they're doing this deep dive, that it stems from like previous lifetimes. And so the hypnotherapist gets to have conversations with really like the spirit self, who's talking about like the previous lifetimes and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, because just now, granted, I'm reading somebody's work here, but in some of those books, what I do remember is that the spirit does have, you know, a lot of knowledge, obviously way more than us. Like there's no, you know, veils or fears or projections or anything like that. But it seems like the way they kind of describe it is there's a knowing, mm-hmm. but oh, I don't even want to say this out loud. Like there's a knowing, but in terms of how much we know here and how much we can access while we're embodied, I don't know. I don't know if we just know everything that we need to know for each specific lifetime.
Oh. Well, I think there has to be limitations for each lifetime.
Yeah.
Because it has to fit into what the agenda is.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's part of the story.
So then when you have tapped in to have conversations with your higher self, what has that experience really been like? What have the messages, like what's the tone of the messages?
It's so strange. So I think... because I think I explained to you how I feel like I'm in a bit of a hiatus. So that's kind of, in the beginning, I think when you're first kind of going through the spiritual journey, I feel that the team is really there for you. Like it's kind of, it's more obvious in the beginning, but then as you get to grow in conscious, they tend to kind of, I feel maybe this is not true, but I feel like they tend to kind of back off in order for you to find you. They're still there always, but it's not going to be as prevalent or obvious. So in the beginning with my higher self, it was a more kind of loving, encouraging kind of feeling, like you can do this. You know, I would ask a question. You know, I don't get verbs or I don't get like words or sentences. I just get the vibration, the frequency, and then I try to make that into the word. And that's how we would go back and forth and talk, is by the vibration. And if I can resonate with that, then I know exactly what she's saying to me. But then as of late, I feel like it's, and it could be me, you know, where it's just, there's not a whole lot. But I think 'cause she's there, but it's kind of like, you know.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say, and this has kind of been similar. I've had similar experiences too. So I think, yes, when you're just going down, quote unquote, this path, You know, so it's like, oh, okay, they want to do this. You know, they're waking up, blah, blah, blah. And so they're reassuring you and giving you synchronicities, and like everything is magical, you know, it's amazing. And then after a little while, it does, at least, yes, yeah, similarly, it kind of dies down and there's not as much activity. And I always think it's because they want you to apply what you learned. Mm-hmm. So they kind of step away to see, okay, we've told you all this stuff and we've been guiding you and reassuring you, but if we, you know, kind of step away for a while, how are you going to do? And, you know, do you really have that much faith? Do you really, you know, believe and trust? And it does feel like it's kind of a quiet period, and it's frustrating.
It is frustrating.
I'm like, where are you?
Yeah. Like, come on now. It is frustrating, but I understand it. You know, I honor it. I respect it. I don't necessarily really get angry about it. You know, I don't get resentful about it. If I am getting resentful, I come right back to center, because I know that's coming from the human self, not from my spirit self. And so I can immediately just whoop. And I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. I got this. You know, all the stuff that I've learned, all the stuff that I put myself through, and they do show up when I really need them. Like, it's not like they're not there. And my higher self, you know, she's definitely there. And I think now it's more of upping my game and reaching that level of being able to hear her better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it really does. It makes sense. And you're right. They're always there. I think what we don't want to say to people is like, they leave forever. No, they don't leave. They're still there. It's just, they may go like quiet.
They do. Yeah. Cause I used to hear things like out of random and sporadically, and it'd be time in between, but I would hear words, literally words and sentences that were not my voices, but they were from the other side. And I've not heard anything in a long time. And the numbers still come through. That's cool. And then I used to have like really crazy dreams and visions, and I've shared them with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I really haven't had any. So I'm like, oh.
These dead periods are kind of like, number one, I say to my team, like when they do go dark, I'm like, y'all, this is no time for vacation. Like, I don't know who approved your PTO, but it is not approved. I'm like, if I have to be here, you have to be here. Number one. And yeah, you know, but I think that this is a common thing for people. Yeah. And I think it's why, and you said you don't get frustrated. I do get frustrated. I do, at times. Like, I am definitely owning up to my humanity and acting out a little bit like, isn't this the assignment? You know, that's how I feel. Like, this is the assignment. Like you have to be ride or die until it's time. So I do get very frustrated, but it is. So let me ask you these questions, because I think people are probably wondering about this. What has been your experience with your spiritual team, like let's say spirit guides, versus your own higher self? Like, have there been differences, even the way they speak to you? Have there been differences?
There have been. So I think like with the team, they can, depending on, I feel like they can be kooky, like fun. Mm. Even when like the angels, like when I was, then I haven't been doing it, but with like Uriel, like I feel there would be some kind of like funness to it. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like, it was just fun. It was lighthearted. Whereas with my higher self, it's more like soothing, because it's one and the same. And it's just very like, I don't know if I want to say godlike, but it's just, it's very peaceful, very soothing, very tranquil. Yeah, that's the best way that I can describe the difference between the two. As usually it's very fun. Sometimes it can be kind of serious. And then the higher self is just very soothing, very like easygoing there, you know.
Yeah, I think mine is kind of the same way too. Like, yeah, my spirit guides have their own personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I definitely know it's them because they speak a certain type of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, I had some in the past who I really deeply miss who are hilarious, like just hilarious, like very bubbly sounding like the
genie,
just like that. And I was like, oh my God, that's the best in the world. You know, just very hilarious, loved him to death. And I know, you know, our time together is done, but, and yes, with my higher self, it's interesting. It is very, I'm the only way I could think about speaking about it is to me, it's a very reassuring matter of fact type of relationship. Like the information that comes through, there's zero confusion. It's like the voice, it just knows. And I don't know. It's like, I can't find the right word, but it has all knowing. And yes, it's very loving. As opposed to me, it's very stable and consistent. And it just, yes, it has that knowing. But I do want to say this because you and I have spoken about this and I wonder about people. So when you've sat down to meditate and speak with your higher self, has your higher self ever given you some information where, number one, it was shocking, and number two, you were in complete disagreement with?
Trying to think. I'm sure. I mean, I can disagree with her till this day and be like, no, I don't wanna.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like the push though. I don't feel like that pressure because I think she knows that us, we don't work well with pressure. Like force.
Yeah.
You can't force me. If you force, I retaliate. I go downhill. And so even though she may suggest something and it doesn't resonate with me and I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't feel that like you have to. Like it's more of like, okay. And you know, it's very just passive. It's very, and I think me and her are the same. So she knows how I behave. Like, and I just don't behave well with that kind of pressure or force. So I'm sure there, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
No, just like, I'm sure that there have been times where I've like disagreed. And I'm probably working through something right now, which is probably where we're kind of in this space between us, not space, but you know what I'm saying? Like there's something there with us. I just can't think of an actual time to like, or a moment to share. Yeah.
Well, I do think, you know, here, like being a human on this planet, which can be a lonely experience for many people, right? Having the knowledge that, of course, quote unquote, you're never alone and there's always something there, like this internal guidance system, this higher self is a wonderful thing. However, you know, the fact that it has this aerial perspective and can see everything is great. But when you are embodied and you are doing the work and you're, you know, having these situations all the time or, you know, pretty often where there are struggles, and then you sit down to converse with your higher self and the information it gives to you is very unexpected, I'll put it that way, and it doesn't match what you have been going through, is very challenging. At least it's challenging for me. There have been times where I've meditated and I've asked my higher self, like, what do you want for the love of God? Like, because I'll have like all these horrible, like just unexpected things happening one after another. I'm like, okay, I feel like something's trying to get my attention. That's the way I see it. When I start having a bunch of problems starting to build up, that's when I my impression is they want to get my, you know, she, whatever, wants to get my attention. And so I'll sit down and just say, what do you want? What are you looking for? And it's so unexpected, or for me, it's left field.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, really? I would have never guessed. Like, I never would have been able to tell from all the ridiculousness that's happening. And it can be, as a human, it can be very frustrating to deal with, because you know that higher wisdom is wisdom.
Yeah.
So it's trying to help you. But when you're managing everyday life, it's hard to see obstacle after obstacle as what is helping you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I want to say that the maturity of the relationship that I have with my higher self is still kind of new. And so what I mean by that is, through the journey that I've been through, she's always been there. But I think in the beginning, it was more work with my team than it was with my higher self, although they are one and the same. So even though she was there and I'm sure active and the one sending me information, I was more focused on the team helping me through what I was going through. So it wasn't until the last couple of years where I started to actually specifically speak to my higher self, if that makes sense. And so I can say before then, yeah, through the life journey, through the dark night of the soul, all that stuff, it was hard. And I was just like, I don't understand why this is happening. And then you have to do shadow work. And oh God, it was so frustrating. It was so, but I never had that relationship with the higher self of saying, well, higher self, why did you do this? It was more of like, team, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
It was the last 2 years that it was just like, okay, higher self, now we're going to speak one-on-one together. And so I think that part passed. So now in the level, the journey where I was, like in the last few years, when something happens, I understood, okay, this is something that we need to work through. What is it? And so then I would get the help as to showing me what it is that I need to actually heal from. And so it would be like past life experiences and traumas and information that they were telling me through my higher self, telling me like, hey, this is what you need to work on. This is why this happened. This is why the trigger happened. And so I was at that level of maturity with her. So it wasn't so much as, it was frustrating and upsetting and depressing in the moment, right? Because you're going through it. But I was in that level of sitting down, understanding that this is happening for a reason. Now let's get to the reason as to why, so that I can get over it. And so that's where I would get the information, heal, okay, on to the next trigger. And on to the next. And on to the next. It was like a revolving door, you know?
Yeah. Never ends. It never ends.
Never ends.
But it can be, I mean, no, I think that's the way you described it, I think, is super helpful, because in truth, your higher self really, you know, is here really with you as one, but it wants to learn, it wants to expand, and it wants to grow. And for most of us, not all of us, most of us learn through adversity, mm-hmm. you know, and obstacles, and that's how we hone our muscles. And that's really, yeah, how we just learn new things and grow. But it's very, it's difficult. I mean, we're having a human experience, and you know, when you have the knowledge again, okay, there is a higher source of me that I can communicate with and get help. I think it's helpful to look at it as your higher self wants you to grow. Therefore, like you said, will walk you through, you know, what the root causes of the problems to help you, you know, heal from them and grow from them, and also see, you know, to have more comprehensive understanding is what I think.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
Even if that comes from past lives as well, where you have patterns that keep repeating over and over and over and then are brought here, which are wonderful. Right. So it's like, but for me, because of my personality, it's hard sometimes to sit down and have that conversation, because it's, again, there's, you know, it doesn't have a quote unquote perspective, but yeah, it has its wisdom, and I know it. I know that it would be helpful, but it is hard and it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you get an answer, let's say all will be well. Just trust, you know? And I'm like, no, it is not well. I am not trusting. If it is well, then why is this happening? And this and that, you know, it's like, that's, it's
hard. Yeah. It's really hard when you're in the middle of it, when you're in the middle of it, it's not easy.
Exactly. And, you know, there are situations that, of course, as I get older, I can look back on, I'm like, oh, I see what you were trying to do there. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes sense. I get it. But like you said, when you're working through it, it's like, oh, just screw everything. And it's so hard.
Yeah. But it's not supposed to be easy, because then how else are you supposed to learn?
I know. But I was like, I signed up for the easy route. I signed up for that. You didn't get the memo. That's the problem. Oh my God. So, okay. People who are listening, how do you, what are the ways that you've used to connect to your higher self? And before you say this, let me throw this in there for people. You know, this deck, this wonderful deck that was created, really is a bridge to your higher self. It's a tool to connect, because it can be difficult, especially when you are in those really difficult moments that you can't focus. I can't sit down and meditate. I can't do those things. So I need an answer. I need guidance now. It's an easier way to like tap in and get, you know, some assistance there, right? And your higher self knows it. So that is one way. But what is like your most preferable method that you use to kind of tap in?
I think the biggest one is just shutting down, like meditation, centering, and just having no music whatsoever, literally just silence. So all I hear are the birds, and just quieting the mind. Because you had said this earlier, where with the higher self, they are straight to the point. You know, there is no lying. There's no just fluffing things. Like, they're just straight to the point, honest. And so the answers that I get, I know they're real. Like, there is no, I almost wanted to say, because there's no like sugarcoating. Like, it's the real deal. They're being honest with you. So the biggest thing is I do is meditating, to quiet the mind quickly and allowing her to come through, whether it's just a one word answer or a feeling or a vision. It's what I needed in that moment for that question that I just asked. And if I am having, cause I've used the deck too, where I'm like in a rush and I'm like, okay, I don't have time. Like, I just give me something now. And it happens every single time, you know, shuffling the card, and it just takes the one card to plop out. And then sure enough, there it is. There's the answer. And it's like, okay, you know, whatever the answer is.
Reshuffle. For the right card.
Yes. But yeah, meditation is like the biggest one. It's just quieting the mind and letting her just come through unfiltered, unattached, no resistance, just literally complete flow. And she just comes in.
I do the same thing. I sit down in the morning and I meditate. And, you know, sometimes I have like a question, and then I'll sit down and meditate and do that. And other times I'm like, just whatever, just, I need, you know, a minute of solitude and quiet from the chaos. And I will see images, maybe like 15 minutes, and I'll get an image about something. Mm-hmm. Unexpected. I'm like, oh, is that what you've been thinking? Because I've been thinking something else. Like, you know, like, okay. You know, and I'll listen, you know, I'll write the message down and then think about it for a little while. But I think meditation is definitely, and you know, I meet so many people, Deborah, that tell me they can't meditate. I've worked with so many people who I give them assignments. I'm like, okay, so you have to meditate. And they'll say, okay, great. So I'll do that. But you know, is there another way that doesn't require meditation? And I'm like, okay. You know, oh, but here's the thing. There's so much resistance. And even I find that with myself at times, there's so much resistance to sitting down and taking that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, cause I mean, and sometimes it's because I have so much to do. I think, oh, I don't have time to sit down and be quiet, but we do. We can always make like a few minutes each day to do it.
Yeah. It's like, how many times do you find yourself getting on the phone, getting on social media? and scrolling. And then, you know, just keep track of how long you do that. You can literally replace that with a moment of meditation.
Yes. And so, you know, and you're right. I think we use so much, we waste so much time. We just waste the time on meaningless things. And we could have an even deeper relationship with our higher selves if we just spent more time cultivating that relationship. And I think, you know, by sitting down and saying, okay, you know, this is really an act of love for myself, so I can understand and know myself better. And giving yourself like that 5 to 10 minutes of sitting down and just being patient and allowing whatever needs to come in would be, I don't know. I think it's really important.
It is. I think it also be pretty scary for some people.
I know.
Getting to know it themselves, you know?
Yes, because we live in a state of avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to know. We just want to keep living, you know, in the
situation. With our blinders on.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's like, what if we had the opportunity to know and confront what's been going on? Or, you know, it can be a very scary experience, but if we know that our higher selves really only want to help enlighten us in a way or show us a different, I don't know, perspective of a situation, then it's actually more fruitful as opposed to more fearful.
Truth. Yep.
I'm trying to think of other ways to contact your higher self. Of course, through journaling, that's one of the best ways. Like
stream of consciousness. Oh yeah. Automatic writing. I haven't done that in a while.
You're on hiatus too. Oh man.
So when I'm like before going to bed, I rarely do it during the day, but it's usually at night when the day is done and I'm rested, I'm in bed, I will do automatic writing.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when you do this, I have a question because people have asked me this before. So when you do automatic writing, there is an assumption that spirit, I'm just going to say spirit, takes over your hand and starts writing for you. Is that the case, or are you just writing out what's on your mind, your worries, and then allowing spirit to kind of respond through you?
Yeah, I let them. It's so much. I'll start writing out just to kind of get the flow, right? Just to get myself centered. And then things will just start coming out that are not from me. It's from the team or whoever I'm trying to speak to collectively. And sometimes they're full on sentence, and sometimes the sentences don't make sense at all, but there are words in there. And sometimes they're words that I've never even heard of or even really write, because that's not how I write. And I literally have to pop up my phone to get the definition of what that word is. And it makes sense to what we were talking about. So that's how I know for a fact that it's not me, because it's coming through me and I'm just letting the hand go and flow. And I get kind of in that trance of just writing. And then sometimes a question will come up as I'm writing, and I can feel I can almost feel like the two parts in me of me, myself asking the question and the collective kind of taking a pause so I can ask the question and then the collective take over again. So like they could be writing and I'd be like, okay, wait a minute, but whatever the question is, and then it goes back into the trance and then the answer comes.
I see. I think that's a good way. I mean, writing, I think, is one of the best ways. And you're talking about handwriting, legit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
See, I think that's one of the best ways. I know there are people who are direct to laptop. I am not. I have to handwrite everything out.
Yeah.
And I type everything. And it's funny because I've been told even by my guide, like, do it that way. Because somebody else was like, you're wasting so much time. You should be typing. I'm like, no, I feel more connected to like actual physical handwriting. And I think you receive more messages that way for some reason. At least that's my experience.
I feel because the flow, it's the flow of the actual hand and the pen or pencil to the paper. And then the creation of actually what you're creating and actually seeing in front, you know, it's a whole thing. It's a whole experience.
It is an experience too. And, you know, it's funny you talked about word choice. So I've had instances where, yes, certain words I've never heard of, I would write them down. I'm like, what is this? And then I would look it up and yes, it would totally make sense. So that's one good confirmation. And also many years ago when I used to do this often, when I was handwriting and then something else is there, like communicating through me, the handwriting actually would change very drastically. Mm-hmm. You know, it would either look really big, like a 5-year-old elementary style is like writing something through me where I'm like, there are 5 words wow. taking the whole page, which is so ridiculous. I'm like, y'all are wasting paper. It would be so gargantuan. And then it would switch to somebody who wrote very tiny and really, really fast. It was just like, oh my goodness, this is totally crazy. I don't know. But that's another way to confirm, like,
yeah, hey,
there's something working through you to give you that message.
Mm-hmm. That's very peaceful because it kind of gives your mind a break, you know?
Yeah.
And you're just a witness to what's happening in front of you. And it's nice.
It is. So I am going to ask you a couple of questions that I've been wanting to ask you. You created this deck, which is beautiful, but the one common thread that I've seen on a lot of your, you know, in your art, I'm trying to find the right word. And I think you've told me this before and I'm losing it. Like where you see light in people's physical forms, like light energy.
Oh, like the lines, the golden lines.
Yeah. Talk to me about that. Like when you were, talk to me about it, because how do you see that? What is that? What's your relationship to that?
I personally, I couldn't go too much into it because it just happens. I don't know how else to describe it. Like it just happens. I love
what's energy that? Flowing. Do you think it's like their energy flowing in the body or?
It's like the light that connects us all, the light of them. The light that's coming out of them. I don't know. That's a struggle that I have because I don't even know how to describe it. It feels right to draw them because it's like the light lines. It's the light of who they are. It's the light that comes through them and it's the light that connects all of us. But why? I don't know. It just happens. And I'm like, it comes through and I love it. I like it. I resonate with it. Yeah, I wish I can go into more detail about it, but I myself haven't even gone into as to why I do them. Like, why do I have such a calling of doing all these lines every time I do my illustrations? Like in mostly all my illustrations, you'll see the golden threads mm-hmm. going through. And it just, for me, it finishes the art. It's something I probably could ask my higher self. Why do we do this? What is this? Why? So, you know, maybe I'll ask her and then I'll come back to you.
That's fabulous. Hey, I'm curious. I would love to know because for me, it resonates. It's like when I see it, I respond to it. It makes sense, mm-hmm. like an intuitive way. And I almost kind of think of it like our, God, I don't know why I'm thinking like an energy blueprint in a way, like in mm-hmm. the, maybe that's where that light is. I don't know, but that's kind of what crossed my mind.
I know it's just something that'll be really deep. I'll put this on my, I'll talk to my higher self. Put it on my to-do list. Yeah, and be like, let's dive into this.
I'm curious about it. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you about the art for the deck, how did the art come to you?
Ooh, visions. So from the list that you provided, I would sit with that and then close my eyes and just allow myself to feel whatever like comes through. And then depending on that vision, then I kind of just put on the illustration as to, because some of them were kind of like I believe the gratitude card, that's a symbol, which I never even heard of, but it actually is a symbol for gratitude in some areas. And I was like, oh, interesting. That's really cool. Yeah. But it's mostly from the way that I got it, just like meditation and having the visions come to me as to what resonates with the title of that card. And that's how
I don't know if you remember, there were two instances. There's one instance where for the nature card, I meditated that morning and I saw, like, there was this woman and she had this, like, set of antlers, and I was walking with her, like, in the forest, but I had never even told you that. And then you created that card. And then I told you that I had that meditation, and it was so bizarre that we both seen the same thing. And I was like, what is going on here? But I thought that was really awesome. You know, spirit just coming through.
Isn't it crazy, the collective's lifeline of how everything's just intertwined?
It's amazing. I really feel like there's so much, you know, there's just so much that we don't know, but I think it's pretty magical.
It is. I mean, you stand back and take a look at it and you're like, wow.
Yes, I love it. It's like, you know, I may be a difficult client, but I do love it. And I'm okay with that. It's like, I do love it. Like, I'm sure when I leave, like, oh, not so bad, not so bad. But here, you know, it's like, oh. It's not like it's a nightmare. That's not what I'm trying to present. It's not a nightmare, but, you know, we go through cycles in life where things are harder and things are a little bit smoother and then harder. So that's just kind of the reality of how things are.
Yeah. It's life. That's what it is. It's supposed to.
It's an interesting thing, but I'm like, the next world is going to be a very, like, comfy world where the animals legit talk. We're, you know, I'm on the beach. It's relaxed. I don't know. It's just something simple.
Taking it easy.
Yes. It's like, yes, I'm taking the easy route and I don't care what anybody thinks. Oh my God. Well, thank you. I was trying to think about any other things that I wanted to say about, maybe just a couple of things about the higher self. I was thinking about, for people, you know, who are listening, like, when you start working more with your higher self, I feel like certain things become more clear in life. Like, number one, and we all know this because of The Secret, but there's more accountability because you have the awareness that you create your own reality.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a big message that always comes through from at least my higher self and my team. Like, you are unlimited. Like, how many times do they have to tell me, even my higher self? She's like, you are empowered. Like, like, I'm going to need to say this 5 times, y'all. At least 5. And then I need one more after that. What else? So yes, the whole concept of being very unlimited, and that, yes, you are creating, you know, and that your mind is extremely powerful, everywhere, but especially, you know, here on earth, and that instead of focusing so much on the mistakes, your higher self will approach everything as a point, like as a lesson that you're learning, as opposed to like where you failed, you know. And I think it's super helpful, because somebody, at least like myself, you know, sometimes has a tendency to dwell on certain things in the past and the mistakes, but your higher self is like, no, that was a lesson, you know, you learn from that and take that with you, you know? So I think when you start bridging that gap with your higher self, it'll give you a new perspective. It's just, it's your job to consistently like hold that perspective.
True, true. And I think because we're worst critics to ourselves. One thing that I just recently started telling myself is, because I'm going through another path of loving myself in a different level, is one thing that I've been really bad in the past is calling myself a failure many times throughout my entire life. And what I've done now is I'm switching that to, I'm not a failure. I'm a learner. I'm learning. And so anytime I have that word creep up, immediately I replace it. I'm a learner. I'm learning, because it comes with a different frequency and vibration. Yeah, the failing comes with a whole different, like, just low feel, like, vibration. And being a learner, I'm telling myself, oh, it's okay, because I'm learning. That's a whole part of this whole thing, is learning these things. I didn't fail. I learned, you know?
Exactly. So
just throw that in there.
No, I think that's a really good point. I think it's a really good point, because it's so easy. Because I think, and again, I can't generalize here, but for a number of people, when you're on this planet, it's so easy for us to focus on the negative things, you know, as opposed to the positive things. So I think, like, even switching, how you talk to yourself, switches your mindset, and then it switches your outlook, and then things, your experience is better in life. So I think that that's a very good way of like course correcting yourself.
Yes. Yes.
Like changing, changing your language, yourself, your inner self-talk, your inner critic. Cause my inner critic, man, whew, she's always on fire. Like she knows what to say.
Right.
It's such a difficult thing to do, but I feel like it's like a daily challenge. You do it, you know.
Yes. I feel like that's like the one major thing that I have, the major thing that I have in this lifetime is learning that about myself, the critique, not taking, you know, not being so hard on myself, because we all do it. And I've been really bad with it in the past. I mean, ever since just being alive on this planet, I've been really bad with it. So I think it's just feel like that's a really big thing that I'm learning right now on how to heal and recover from. Mm. And I didn't realize that until like recently that I was like, wow, like this one's huge.
It's super difficult because we, in our mind, you know, when we make mistakes, it can be embarrassing. And yes, there can be repercussions as well, you know, and when it's public, it's even harder and worse. So it's like, it's a very difficult, you know, life is difficult and mistakes are difficult. And, but I think it is fair to say, like you said, doing some internal course correction, like, no, it's like, I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm expanding. And that, and this is what expanding looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not all roses. I'm like, expanding is putting, you know, my inner self, like, or putting myself in check.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's what it feels like to me when I want to fall, you know, when I want to say the most horrible things to myself or really start, you know, putting myself down because I didn't do this right. Or how could I have not, you know, done this, or I didn't listen to my intuition. And then it just, you go all the way down rabbit hole and it just gets worse, worse, worse. And I think, you know, expanding and growing and become, and I don't like to say you become enlightened as if boom, you're done. Cause I don't believe in that. But I think, and part of that process is recognizing, like you said, where, you know, where do I need to grow still?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I need to heal myself? I think the other things that reminded me of my higher self was switching my focus from lack to gratitude.
Yes, that's a huge one. That's huge. Cause that can ground you really quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see, and it happens to me on a day-to-day basis. And you can see it now when, you know, if you see somebody homeless, you're like, for me, I'm immediately grounded and like, I'm so grateful that I have a place to live and then I have food and then I have AC. And it's just, that frequency that comes with gratefulness is so huge and it's life-changing. And it can really, if you're really down and out, it can, for me, I'm not going to speak for everybody, it immediately can shift me.
Yeah.
And it can shift the direction. And so I don't go down the rabbit hole. So I can just be in a place of gratitude and just like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I feel it. It's not just me saying it. It's experiencing the gratitude, not just coming from me, but through me, over me, around me. And you feel everybody, you feel your team, you feel, I feel God every day, and you can feel your higher self. It just takes that moment. Just take that breath and be like, what are you thankful for in that moment? And then go with it.
And I think that's smart too, what you're saying about, it's like taking, pausing, because, you know, every decision in life, you know, we can choose to, like you said, go down that dark rabbit hole, or we can do, you know, look in a different direction and be more positive about the situation. It's always a choice. It's like, you're always choosing between fear and love at every moment, every day. Right. And whatever you choose is going to be the experience. And then you'll find that if you start dwelling on something negative, then I don't know, you, something crappy happens and then another crappy thing happens and another crappy, it's like, boom, 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 this domino effect. But if you open your heart, especially in the frequency of gratitude, I feel like it opens doors and things smooth out a little bit more.
It really does. It really does. And as you become more sensitive to it, you feel it in so many different levels. It's magical. It really is. Cause it's just like, I don't know. It's very, very spiritual.
It is. It is. And then I feel like along the same lines, your mindset, like having more of, and I know this word has been like utilized to death, but having more of like an abundance mindset,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to, again, lack, like, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. And it's hard. It's hard, especially if you are, like you said, homeless, if you're without basic resources, it's right. understandable why you were thinking and focusing on it. It's like, of course, you know, you're not being delusional. You need assistance. And what frustrates me, because I've dealt with many people who are like, oh, well, they just need to, you know, use the law of attraction and bring it to them. And in my mind, that's just, again, like just ridiculousness and delusion. It's like, no, I mean, we are still trying to improve the world, and there are systems in place that need, you know, to be changed and dismantled. Right. So there's realities here, but I think when you are in those very dire strait situations, it is difficult to maintain that type of mindset.
It is. It is.
Yeah. It's very, very hard. And I think it's really in those positions where you have to try to retain some sort of faith in something bigger, knowing that you really aren't alone, knowing that the creator all that is through everyone. It works through people, and the assistance will come through people, but it is really like trying to navigate the difficulty when you feel powerless and helpless, right? It's a huge challenge when you're on this earth.
It really is. And it's hard to like fathom how they can do it and like get themselves out of that.
Yeah.
But if the tools are there, they can. Because it's, if you can just take one thing to be grateful for, sometimes you just need that one thing to change that vibration, because that one thing will then attract another thing and then another, because that's the law of the universe. The universe mirrors who you are. So if you're grateful, even if it's just the one thing, the universe will then bring you something else to be grateful for, and then something else and something else. So that's why with abundance, if you can just remember what it is to be grateful and feel that abundance, the universe will then mirror that. Like, okay.
Exactly.
More. But it's just, you have to try to find that one thing, just at least that one thing, you know? And sometimes it's really hard.
It is really hard. You know, the one thing, a few months ago, I like to try to give myself like 30-day challenges.
Mm-hmm.
In my life. So one thing I was like, okay, I'm going to do a gratitude journal for 30 days. And, you know, I had some hard days, of course. And like you said, I'm like, okay, well, I'm grateful that, you know, number one, I live in Arizona, Satan's Inferno. So I'm grateful to have AC, right? I'm very grateful that I have air conditioning. I'm grateful that I have food. I'm grateful that I have clean water. I mean, you know, you really, it does, that practice brings to mind like how unbelievably, I don't know what the word is, but how we have more to be grateful for than we think about on a daily basis. We take a lot for granted.
Mm-hmm. And just the basics, just to be able to see.
Yeah.
You know, that's something to be grateful, to be able to smell, to taste, to chew, to feel. I mean, the simplest of things you can be grateful for. I mean, it's literally all around you. Just pick one thing and then another will come in, and another, and then you'll realize like, holy Moses, I'm really lucky. I'm really blessed. Look at everything that I have.
Exactly. Well, Deborah, I'm so glad that you joined me for today's call. Like I said, we've been meaning to kind of talk about the higher self and the deck for a while. And I really hope that this has been helpful for people, but I did want to ask, if people wanted to connect with you, how can they find you?
They can visit my Instagram page, imaginelovecreate_art, or my website, which is imaginelovecreate.com.
Awesome. Thank you again. And everybody, we appreciate you listening, and we are so grateful that you have purchased the deck. Have a great rest of your week. Take care. Bye-bye.